I want you to think of the sorts of things that only God does. And you may think of things like, he creates the universe, right? That only God creates the universe. He raises the dead. He sits as judge on the final day. He has authority to forgive all sins. I mean, you can forgive sins from people who sin against you, but he has authority to forgive all sins. You don't. He speaks and gives life. And you could probably think of other things. You know, there's probably a lot of different kinds of things that fit that category. Okay, in Scripture, Jesus does all those things. In John 1:1, nothing was made that he did not make. He creates the universe. You know, the paralyzed man that's let down through the roof. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And they're thinking, this is blasphemy. Who can talk that way? And Jesus says to them, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, rise and walk. And so Jesus does all of these things. Now, in John 5, last week, we looked at the story where Jesus healed a paralyzed man at the pools of Bethesda, which is in Jerusalem. It was the Sabbath day when he did that. And the Jewish leaders were upset that Jesus, one, that he did this on the Sabbath, and two, that he actually told the man to carry his mat on the Sabbath, which would violate their laws. And they approached Jesus. And I'm going to start in verse 15 and just read to verse 29. Or actually, right now, I'm just going to read to verse 18. So, 15, the man went away and he told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now, we talked about that last week, what Jesus' answer means. My Father is working until now, and I am working. And you remember there was the big discussion amongst the Jews, does God work on the Sabbath? Or does he break the Sabbath, which is his own law? He made the law, so does he keep his own law? And we talked about that the unanimous answer amongst the Jewish scholars of Jesus' day and going back prior to Jesus, and then actually it continued after Jesus too, this whole discussion. But the unanimous answer was yes. Apart from emergencies, apart from special cases like the priest in the temple or the sheep falls into the pit kind of stuff, only God could work on the Sabbath. Legitimately. I mean, people can do it, obviously. They're just breaking it. But God can legitimately do it. Okay, and Jesus is saying, my Father works on the Sabbath, and I do too. That's basically what he's saying. That answer got the Jewish leaders really upset. And it says they wanted all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now, Jesus is not done with his answer to the Jewish leaders. It's going to continue. And so, here's how it continues. I'm going to pick up in verse 19. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Okay, you're one of the Jewish leaders listening to this. What are you thinking?
This guy is way out there.
He's blasphemy.
This is blasphemy.
Just like they're saying, he's making himself equal with God.
That's right. The big idea here is verse 19. So let's look at verse 19. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." Whatever the Father does, that's what the Son does. That's the big idea. He's saying that he does what God does. Mm-hmm. Now, this is more than just a normal man saying, "I'm doing God's will." Normal people can talk that way and say, I'm just doing God's will here. I do what God does here. But that's not what this is. We know Jesus is saying more than just that, because in the next verses, he illustrates what he means. So whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. The Father raises the dead. Mm-hmm. Well, so does the Son. The Son gives life to whomever he wants to give life to. The Son is going to call forth the dead out of their graves at the end of time. That's the last part there, verses 28 and 29. Don't marvel at this. The hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, that's the Son of Man, and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. He's talking about the final resurrection. The final resurrection is tied to him, he says. Jesus is going to call people out on the final resurrection for judgment. The Father has given all judgment to the Son, he says. Okay, just listen to what he's saying. Okay, whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Jesus is now saying, I raise the dead. I give life to whomever I want to give life to. And I have life in myself. And I judge the living and the dead. I am the final judge. Jesus just said that stuff. Those are not the words of a normal man saying, I'm just doing God's will. Mm-hmm. Normal men who say that don't talk that way. They don't. If someone did, you would say he's crazy.
Well, or evil. Men don't say, I see what God's doing.
What's that?
Normal men don't say, I see what God is doing, like that big stuff. You know,
okay, yeah.
Not normal either. Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus began by saying, my Father is working on the Sabbath, and so am I. He began by making himself equal to God. That's verse 18. He's now illustrating what that looks like. Mm-hmm. When he says, I raise the dead. I am the final judge. I give life to whomever I want to give life to. So let's talk about some of these works Jesus says he does. He says he gives life and he raises the dead. Look at verse 21. As the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. Look at verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Look at verse 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Look at verses 28 and 29. I read it earlier. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Life is in Jesus. And I don't just mean spiritual life. That is true, by the way, and we'll talk about that in a minute. That spiritual life is in Jesus, for sure. But Jesus controls your very breath. You breathe because he lets you breathe. As the Father, so the Son. That's how this whole text is set up. As the Father does, so the Son does. God gave you your very life. Jesus gave you your very life. He raises the dead. And he will raise you when you die. Now, this is not anything at all like Elijah raising the dead in the Old Testament. Look at verse 21 again. As the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to who?
Whom he will.
Whom he will. Did Elijah have that power? Could Elijah just, whoever I want, it's just, I'm just going to, you, live.
No, he had to ask for it.
That's right. Hmm. Jesus gives life to whom he will. This is different from Elijah in the Old Testament raising the dead, or Elisha, both of them did in the Old Testament, raising the dead. If Jesus does not want to give you life, you don't have life. If he wants to give you life, you have life. Your life is in his hands. He can take your life tonight if he wishes. And he can protect your life tonight if he wishes. In addition, he calls forth the dead for judgment. We've talked about this a little bit. I'll read that section again. But I want you, as I read this section, to think about the final resurrection and the final judgment at the end of time. Because that's what he's talking about here. Verses 25 through 9. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. That's a picture of the end of time, the last days, the final judgment. At that time, Jesus says, he's going to call the dead out from wherever they are, their tombs, if they're in the sea, wherever they happen to be. He's going to call them out. And they're going to come. And he has such power that he can do this just by speaking. Look at verse 25. In verse 25, it is the dead hear the voice of the Son of God. Look at verse 28. All who are in the tombs hear his voice. This is the final resurrection that Daniel 12 talks about, that Jesus is referring to. And Jesus is saying, I'm in charge on that day. Life comes from Jesus. Now, we talked about how that's like, you know, the dead rising, but it's also eternal life. Look at verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word, there's that hearing my word, the voice, you know, and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Okay, we talked about your life depends upon Jesus. Your eternal life also depends upon Jesus. I'm talking about two different kinds of life here. One's a physical life. One is eternity. The eternal life is the far more important of the two. If you die tonight but have eternal life, you've got eternal life. If you don't have eternal life, but you live another 100 years, who cares in the end? What's 100 years to eternity? Nothing. And so your eternal life depends on what you do with the word you hear from Jesus. That's what he's saying here. They hear his word. They believe him who sent me. They have eternal life. He's saying that he and the Father are one. What the Father does, Jesus does. If you believe Jesus, you believe the Father. If you believe the Father, you believe Jesus. You can't separate them. That's what's in here. I do what he does. I don't do anything except what I see him doing, he said. You can't separate them. It's a package deal. Jesus and the Father are so united that it is impossible for Jesus to do anything except what the Father does. It's really a statement of their unity together. They're one. That's what that is. When you believe the Father, you believe Jesus. When you believe Jesus, you believe the Father. They come together. The Father gives to Jesus everything. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. In fact, in this text, there's something the Son does that the Father does not do. Do you know what it is?
Judges.
He judges. Look at verse 22. It says, the Father judges who?
No one.
The Father doesn't judge anybody. But has given how much judgment to the Son? All judgment to the Son. In other words, the Father will actually not be your judge on the last day. Jesus will. This is something Jesus does that God, the Father, does not do. It doesn't mean the Father's not involved in any way. But Jesus is your direct judge. He's who you stand before on the last day. Jesus is the one who will call the dead from their graves to the final judgment. And then Jesus is the one who will render that final judgment. He's going to call them from the dead to stand before him, and then he himself will judge them. And I think there's a reason for that, why it's Jesus and not the Father. You see, no one will ever be able to say to Jesus, "But you don't understand what it's like. I'm a man. I'm weak. I've gotten hungry. I've gotten thirsty. I've gotten this. I've been tempted. No one can say that to Jesus. Because Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, except without sin. Jesus has been hungry. Jesus has been thirsty. Jesus has been tired. Jesus has been weak. He has been scorned, and he has been mocked, and he has been rejected, and he has been beaten, yet without sin. And so your final judge actually understands your situation from the inside. That's the Father doesn't. The Father doesn't know what it's like to suffer. Jesus does. That's why the Father has given all judgment to the Son. All judgment. All judgment, guys. Jesus is especially qualified to be your judge, because he's been where you are, except without sin. And so you have a judge who can actually sympathize with you in your troubles. You know, Hebrews takes comfort in the fact that we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with us in our troubles. Well, that high priest is also our judge. Your judge is able to sympathize with you. That's why he's your judge. The Father gave him all judgment. That's verse 22. Why did he give him all judgment? What's it say? Okay, he is the Son of God and the Son of Man. He's both Son of God and Son of Man. That's right. And so read verse 22 and then just keep reading.
So that all may honor the Son.
Okay, yes.
Just like they honor the Father.
That's right. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. That's what Jesus said. Okay. In your Bible, in verse 23, underline or circle the words "just as." Whatever honor the Father gets, the Son gets the same honor. Whatever honor the Father deserves, the Son deserves the same honor. That's the point Jesus is making. I get the same honor the Father gets. I'm your judge.
And fear.
That's right. And same fear.
Yeah.
Same worship, same everything. Whatever it is, however it is, you should treat the Father, that's how you should be treating me. That's what Jesus is saying. Just as they honor the Father, they should honor me. So you're to worship the Father. You're to worship the Son. You're to pray to the Father. You can pray to the Son. You are to give thanks to the Father. You can give thanks to the Son. There is no jealousy in the Trinity. It doesn't exist. The Father doesn't say, oh my, you're praying to Jesus? We can't have that. He doesn't do that. The Son doesn't say, you're honoring the Father? You shouldn't be doing that. You should be honoring me. You can honor both. You should honor both. To honor the Son is to honor the Father. To dishonor the Son is to dishonor the Father. And so, that's verse 23. Jesus just said that. In verse 23. And so things like this, worship, prayer, honor, thanksgiving, submission, obedience. If you give any of that to one, you're giving it to the other also. They're together, guys. The Father and the Son are together. They're united. Jesus reveals the Father. He talks that way a lot. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he said to Philip. It's part of why he came. And so what this means is that God reveals himself to us, not just in a book, not just with words, so that it's sort of an abstract idea. You know, God hasn't, he does more than that. He does do that. He does give us a book, and he does give us words. But in Christianity, he gives us more than words. He reveals himself to us in a person who came and spoke to the people, and he lived with the people, and he ate with the people, and he slept, you know, with the people, and he spent time with the people, and the people got to know him. And in doing so, what he's doing is he's revealing God in another dimension, so to speak. It's more than just words on ink on paper. If you want to know God, then get to know that person that reveals him. Get to know Jesus. In Jesus, God is opening wide a relationship with you. You see, it's hard to have a relationship with ink and paper, with just nothing more than words. But when you all of a sudden you have a real person, we're talking relationship here. God is sending Jesus for relational reasons. He wants us to know him, not just ideas about him, but him, himself. God is coming down to our level and inviting us to know him. Like if you, you know, we got these squirrels in our backyard. What if I wanted to really, you know, the squirrels to know me? They can't understand. A human is much different and higher than a squirrel, and they just, it's not going to happen. They're not going to know me. But what if I became a squirrel? I can't. I'm not saying I can, but something like that's what God is doing to us. He's coming to our level so that we can know him. And he's doing that in Jesus. In Jesus, God is personally paying us a visit. Coming, he's coming to our house. He's saying, I'm going to go down to where you live and let you get to know me, is what God is doing. So now, when Jesus says these things, he says, I raise the dead. I give life to whomever I want to give life to. I have life in myself. I am the final judge of the living and the dead. You are to give me the same honor you give my Father. When Jesus says that kind of stuff, what he's saying is, if you see me, you've seen God. He's saying, I reveal the Father. Do you want to know what the Father is like? Look at me, Jesus is saying. He's saying, God has come to earth. This is Christianity. This is central to Christianity, and it is central only to Christianity. There is no other religion that is anything close to this. Now, one of the reasons God came to earth was to communicate to us. That's one reason. To let us see what he's like. When I say that, I don't mean we see his fullness. That's right, gracious no. But in Jesus, we do see the Father. And that is one reason why he came, to do that. There's another reason why he came, not just to communicate. And not just to show us God, but to open the door for us to know God. Mm-hmm. And that's going to mean, what's closed the door to God is sin. Sin closes the door to God. Scripture says, your sins have separated you from your God so that you cannot know him. It's Isaiah 59. And so what you and I need is for our sins to be taken care of. And Jesus does that at the cross. That's another reason why he came. He didn't just come to show us the Father, but he came to deal with the central problem we have that prevents us from knowing the Father. He came to die that we might know God. That's the cross. Richard Dawkins, famous atheist, calls the cross repulsive. Awful, he said. Barbaric. It is awful. It is barbaric. He's actually right. It is repulsive. And that is what makes it so beautiful. Because Jesus endured that awful cross because he loved you and me. The more repulsive the cross is, the more beautiful the love of God is, because it's that repulsive, awful, barbaric thing that he endured to free you. That's love, guys. That's love you don't understand. And so here's the thing. The God who is your final judge, that's what we just talked about, died to rescue you and make you his. Your final judge died for you. Your final judge understands, but your final judge actually loves you and died for you. You don't want to reject that. That's the cross. We're going to celebrate the cross today in communion.